liquor takes a long time. Well, I used to be in the long line, but I'm done with that. Now every day gets a little bit better, baby, every day is better than the one before.
Yes, Brian Houston, the new album is called Shelter, and that was called Plant Your Seed. It's very different for you.
Yeah, I know. We even thought about calling it a different artist name, like band names and different things, because it was so different.
No, but I suppose at one stage you were firmly ensconced in the singer-songwriter thing.
Mm.
Now, that can be a very bland description.
Yes.
And a lot of people are bland in that bracket. But this, I mean, okay, not to, you were for a while, you might have been bracketed like that for a while, but you have shown certainly a lot of variety over your albums, but this is like really out of left field, it really is.
Yeah.
You know, it's a rock album, nearly.
It more or less is. I mean, it's funny because on that Reverb Nation site, I'm down as folk, but...
Are you?
This is definitely not. This is definitely not folk.
Well, I'd like them to listen to that and say, right, where do I put this guy now?
Yeah, but then you see, I mean, it's part of the journey, you know. Several things that are different about this was that I was steeped in the blues for about a year. Howlin' Wolf, a bit of gospel, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, the Black Keys. That's all I listened to.
Yeah.
Black Joe Lewis and Honey Bears, things like that was just what I just steeped myself in it. And then when I came to do this album, I had the tunes that I'd sung into my phone. I hadn't put guitar chords to them.
Yeah.
I hadn't even written down most of the lyrics. And so I just went into my wee studio at home and I just started to play with drum loops and the bass rather than do guitar first. So it all was back to front.
That's a strange way of doing things.
Well, yeah, I mean, I realised, you see, there's, what's the song? The single prices go up. The more chords I tried to put on it, the more it sounded like a white boy trying to play the blues, and I didn't want to sound like that.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted it to be free of a melody, free of chords. You know, like a chord's either a major or minor. There's a minor or a major, and that defines the melody.
Yeah.
But if, with a bass, it's neither. It's in between. So you can do a lot more with the bass. So that's kind of how it was born. And
there's certainly a lot of space in the recording, and I like it because the drums are to the fore as well, you see.
Well, you see, I recorded everything in my house, and except the drums, a few guitars and stuff. But I met this producer. He's an American guy, lives up in Port Stewart, and he's a friend of mine. He's been a friend for a few years, but we'd never worked together. And I was playing him some of the demos, and he said, I'd love to produce this.
Now, people always ask, what does a producer do? So did he bring anything to the table that you wouldn't have done yourself?
What he brought right away was another perspective. Two songs in particular were majorly adjusted because of his input, right? Like edited like crazy, tons taken out. Track two and track seven.
Do you not
seven,
take offence if someone says, you know, listen to that song, you don't need that bit, and cut that bit out, and here's what to do with it? I mean, does a musician generally get offended? Or is that his job? Is that why you involve him?
I think they do generally get offended when that happens, and certainly Brian Houston of 15 years ago would have went, I will take you to court, sir.
But, do you know who you're dealing with? Yes, these songs are my babies.
Do you not know who I am, mate? And no, it wasn't like that. Actually, that's why he got the gig, because I was at a songwriter's thing in England, and I played one of these songs, track two there, Pity the Fool. And I played it, and everybody in the room went, oh, awesome song, man. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's what you want to hear. And I walked out feeling 10 foot tall, and he followed me out the door. And he says to me, see that song? It's great. It doesn't need the chorus.
Yeah.
He says, it doesn't need it. The chorus will fit some other song, but that doesn't need it. He says, it's great without it. And there it is on the record without the chorus.
The cheek of it.
So he, well, exactly. But I admired that. I thought, wow, that takes some cojones. I admire that. You're the man for me. Kind of thing.
How many albums is this now? What number is this?
Oh, I don't know. Must be 20, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it
somewhere around that? Yeah.
Well, it's to your credit that you can maybe take on board new ideas and all this far down the line. You know?
That's what it's all about.
It's a brave thing to do, I suppose.
Well, it's about you feeling inspired. If you're not inspired and you're not like feeling like this music's representative of your ideas, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like just churn it out again and again? No way.
Some people do.
That's their choice.
Yeah, some people do. I need
you want to name names on there?
No, I need an album this year because the wife needs a new kitchen. You know,
oh, well, if only albums could generate new kitchens. But I know it's more like I really wanted, I mean, my big fear was that there are certain names who left Fender Stratocasters and play old blues songs and play extremely slick versions of those like 20s and 30s classics.
Yeah.
Whereas one of them, there's a movie called It Might Get Loud. It features Jack White. And what was very apparent about both Jack White and Jimmy Page, who's also in that movie, was how close to the original blues they were.
Yeah.
They didn't get away. They genuinely took the spirit of the blues and they played it. And so, I mean, in that sense, it is a folk album in that whilst it's referenced by the blues, it has a heavy Belfast accent. It says it was made in East Belfast. It wasn't made in Memphis, you know.
No, it's great. As I say, I'd love to have had time to listen to it, but even skimming through and doing the playlist head on, mm-hmm. you know, you listen for intros, you listen for a chorus, you listen for a hook. I thought it was great. It suits me, you know.
Do you remember, there's a while ago, we were in an apartment round the corner down in OB.
That's right, yeah.
And there was an album of mine and you hit the wrong track number or something and you played track one instead of track 10
or something. That's right, yeah.
And you looked at me while it was playing, you looked at me and you went, this is good. And kind of were surprised. And that's that track, what was that track called? Somebody Save Me. That track was where I started with this. Because I remembered you saying that and I remembered us making that. And I went for exactly the same sort of spirit, which was very spontaneous and very edgy and rough.
Yeah, so, it's good. You know. What's the thinking on? There's a couple of the tracks you can hear you calling out the instructions to the drummer. No, I need that twice as fast.
The drummer was 20.
Yeah, yeah?
Yeah, he literally left college and came to the studio. And he was nervous, not half as nervous as me.
Why didn't you engage a young lad as a drummer?
I didn't.
You must have seen him.
I didn't. I was very nervous about the choice. Because the producer works with him all the time. The producer's name's Trey Shepherd. And Trey said, look, this is the guy. His name's Danny Ross. He says, this is the guy. And I had my two regular guys who play in my band chomping at the bit, going, well, don't let somebody ruin your... And I was like, look, the producer's in charge. And when he produces, he produces. So I'm sitting there literally biting my nails, like first day at school as we're about to start. And he starts off. And after, I think we spent 4 days on the drums, which I've never done before, totally nailed it. Absolutely killed it. I mean, and when you, one of the best things on this record are the drums.
No, I told you, it was the first thing I said to you.
Yeah,
I love
fantastic.
The drums on it. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, it was a good call.
So Danny Ross nailed it. All credit to him.
Well, there you go. That was the longest answer to a question ever. What does a producer do? And these are the kind of calls he makes, yeah, you know?
Definitely. And it makes a difference. Otherwise, well, you know, Trey has a saying that goes, that's why they pay me the maximum bucks, right?
Yeah.
But with some albums, it goes, that's why they pay me the moderate bucks. And some albums, it's, that's why they pay me the minimum bucks. And on this one, it was, that's why you pay me the minuscule bucks. You know, it went all the way down. The guy worked 24/7 on it.
He does have a great reputation, because remember the big competition run in Northern Ireland last year with UTV was to get to work with Trey Shepherd was the prize, you know? So,
that was probably Trey who put that out, because he's a shameless self-promoter. But we got on great, and we were actually talking in the studio one day, and he was going on about something. I said, Trey, someday I hope to be as impressed by you as you are. So we're on a really good like banter level.
Well, honestly, it's all straight with you anyway, you know.
But we had this thing where he set up a session with Nashville, where he had the McCreary sisters in a studio in Nashville and us in Port Stewart. Right? Two very exotic locations. Yeah. And he managed the session. He sent over all the files. We sat over Skype and produced the session. And when it was done, after 3 hours of recording those girls, I was in tears. Like, it was so emotional working with them. It was amazing. And Trey went, he said, that's the first time I've ever done that.
What?
And yet he managed it like a total pro. Yeah. You never would have thought for a minute he was out of his depth, not for a minute, and he totally nailed it.
Well, that's terrific. Sounds like
Americans are amazing
working with
people.
It's a confidence, you see.
It is what it is.
We have an inbuilt, I'm not worthy.
We do. You cut the top of our heads off and say, I'm a worm.
Inbuilt, you know, you're down on one knee and in anybody's presence, and you got to get past that. As you say, Americans don't have it. They're just confident. I'm me. And that's it.
It's very admirable.
Listen,
quality.
Sing us a song.
No, I don't want to. Okay.
Well, I'm trying to, again, no sound check or anything. I'm looking at the colours.
While the Belfast public drive home from work going, what's Hero up to?
Right, go ahead. I'm ready.
You want to? You want to go for it?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
$5 on your dashboard for the beggar who needs your help. Keep $5 on your dashboard, save the beggar from going to hell. Oh, keep $5 on your dashboard for the beggar who needs your help. Keep $5 on your dashboard, save the beggar from going to hell. Drag me up, drag me down, drag me all over town. Drag me up, dragging me down, dragging me all over town. When the master came, the master saw, the master looked around. The master brought the kingdom of God to the people of every town. The blind could see, the lame could walk, the sick folks, they got well. When the master brought the kingdom of God to the children of so keep $5 on your dashboard for the beggar who needs your help. Keep $5 on your dashboard, save the beggar from going to hell. Well, keep $5 on your dashboard for the beggar who needs your help. Keep $5 on your dashboard, save the beggar from going to hell. master came, the master saw, you know, we turned the water into wine. Cause when the master went to a party, well, everybody had a real good time. The blind could see and the lame could walk, you know, the dead folks, they got well. When the master brought the kingdom of God to the children of Israel. So keep $5 on your dashboard for the beggar who needs your help. Keep $5 on your dashboard and save the beggar from going to hell. Whoa, keep $5 on your dashboard for the beggar who needs your help. Keep $5 on your dashboard for the beggar who needs your help. Dragging me up, dragging me down, dragging me all over town. Dragging me up, dragging me down, dragging me all over time.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank
you. Is that all right?
Oh, that's terrific.
Is that a bit too loud?
No, no, it's smashing. It really, really is. Brian, a pleasure as always. The album... Shelter, is it in the shops now?
Not yet. It comes out on iTunes. The single's on iTunes right now.
Yeah.
Since Songs of Praise the other day. And then the...
yes, we heard about just threw that in. Praise,
you know,
yes.
Sorry to shamelessly
Eamon plug. Holmes was waxing lyrical about you, you know.
Oh, was he?
Yes, on Twitter, yeah.
He's a very nice fella, Eamon Holmes. Indeed. I've just discovered. But, no, I hate the name drop. Van Morrison told me never to do that. But so, yeah, it's on iTunes from this Sunday, actually. And it's because we said we would release the album at the Opera House on Friday night. And... we wanted to save it till then, till people.
Good stuff.
Plus, we've just got them.
So
things have just come
the gig
out.
Is the Opera House this Friday?
Yes.
Is it Friday sold
night?
Out?
Not quite.
Right.
It's nearly sold out, but there's
still
a few tickets left.
A couple of tickets. Better. Or better. I'm saying, I'm reading the things that says better. Yes. Pete the Hippie says, Brian's singing is better than the trusses he made.
Pete who? What's Pete, his second
Pete,
name?
This says Pete the Hippie. Right.
See, I used to be a production manager in a company called McHugh Dick.
All right. So, well, he must have worked with you then and you made dodgy trusses. So there you go.
I didn't make them. I told other people to make them.
Liz in Belfast says, OMG, he is brilliant. Big Mark the Painter says, first time I've ever heard him. And he's brilliant. Yeah.
So, Big Mark, get out more, son.
No. Well, Big Mark's a genuine spud, so he is. So, Opera House, couple of tickets left. And
yes.
The album will be out there shortly.
It will do. If you want to get an exclusive rush on the album, come to the Opera House.
Yeah, good man. Brian, thanks a lot, mate. Cheers.
Thank you, Johnny.